Today on the Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the old hospital on College Hill. Has anybody who's investigated there gotten some evidence, maybe photographic evidence or like video that you just mentioned, that really surprised you? Do you kind of enjoy going over all of that with them?
Yeah, well, Charlie and I do our best to try to talk to every team that investigate there. Because like I said, they all have, you know, short of maybe one or two stories, everybody has a different story and different take on, you know, what they captured and stuff. But some of the images and some of the things that have been captured there just blows your mind. One of the things that you might have seen it on our website, a lady was doing a tour and she just had her iPhone and she took a picture of it was actually on the outside and she was in between the nurses' college and the hospital and she was trying to take a picture of the city of Williamson. And she took two quick pictures with her iPhone. And the first picture, she didn't capture a thing. But the second picture, if you blow it up and look to the corner of the hospital, it looks like a nurse, probably around the 50s or 60s era. She's got the white dress with the red sash and she's got her hair pulled back in the bun. She's going into the hospital. So we call her the nurse that never clocked out. But it was an amazing image.
I'm looking at it right now. It's right on your website. And it's pretty picture with the town in the background, but yes, there's definitely someone in the second one.
Yeah. And we know she didn't doctor it or alter it in any way because as soon as she captured it, I mean, it came through that quick because she was still on our grounds and she was going back through her pics. She came running in the hospital to show us. We were floored because I've never seen anything like that. So that was the first one. But then there were others. We had a group that came in who had cameras rolling pretty much the whole time they were in there. There was a lot of shadow figures captured. One with a hand coming out of the wall. Ooh. And they tried to go back and debunk it because they thought maybe it was one of their teammates, you know, just messing with them. But the way the hand was coming out of the wall, they tried to recreate it. There's no way. There's no way it was them. So they went through an hour's worth of video and showed us stuff that they captured. It was just a wild night for them. And I would say probably as far as emotional for me, Nick Groff was down here a year ago. He came on the hospital's birthday. And I don't know if you know Nick Groff or watch any of his shows. He was on Ghost Adventures and now he's kind of ventured out on his own. And he had come to the hospital to film a part of his, I think it's called Death Walker series. And he had come for a totally different reason. And he called me. We met him, turned him loose, and it was just him and one other person in the hospital. And I get a phone call like around, I'm going to say 10 or 11 o'clock, and it was Nick. And he said, "Tony, I'm sorry to call you so late." He said, "But would you care to come back up to the hospital? I have something I need to run by you." And I went, "Okay." I said, "Is everything okay?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "But I need to talk to you. And I think you might want to see what I found." So, you know, at first I thought maybe something had happened or somebody was trying to break in. You know, my mom was thinking, you know, outside stuff. And when I got up there, he said, "You might want to sit down for this." So I was like, "Okay." And he said, he was like, "I came here to investigate." I think he wanted to find out the story of Mose Blackburn, if I could remember correctly. That's another story of the hospital that a lot of people come to find out about him and what happened to him at the hospital. But he said, I came here for one reason. And he said, "But I actually found out why I'm here." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I know you don't know my wife." He said, "But she's able to read and I think she's a medium." And she said she was looking at pictures that Nick had sent her of the hospital. And he sent a picture. We had taken one with him. Me and Charlie did. He sent that one as well. And he said before he even told her anything, she pointed to my picture and she said, "Nick, that girl's grandmother is in the hospital." And now I remember Nick didn't. I never told them about anything about, you know, my grandma or anything like that. So he gets in there and he starts investigating. He gets to the basement and he's doing a spirit box session and he starts picking up my grandmother.
No.
And he said, have you ever heard your grandmother's voice? And I just got real quiet and I went, no. And this would have been my dad's mom. And I said, no, Nick, she passed away before I was born. She passed away in the 60s and I was born in the 70s. And he said, I think we've captured her. He said, would you like to hear what she had to say? And I immediately start tearing up because I was like, wow. I said, sure. So he goes back and he plays all of his session in the basement of my grandmother. And I about fell out of the chair because she basically came through. She said her full name. She said her name was Sally Webb, which is correct. Said she passed away, that she was in a lot of pain, and that she knew I owned the building, and to tell me how, basically. And he said, do you know what she passed away from? And I started tearing up. I couldn't even hardly talk about it. And I said, yes, she passed away from lung cancer. So, you know, in the 60s, that probably was a gruesome, you know, she probably was in a lot of pain, which sad. Her son, my dad, died of lung cancer. He passed away, let's see, 17 years ago, not at that hospital, it's a different hospital, but he passed away from lung cancer too. So, it was pretty intense for me. It was hard to listen, but I'd never really thought anybody would ever come in contact with my family. You know, it was just, and he told me, he said, this is not what I came here for. He said, but I think this is what I was meant to find. And it really hit me hard. So he was really super sweet. I think a lot of Nick, he's very genuine, but his investigation was really a gut kicker for me. So it was great. And I really, you know, it was hard for me to watch and hard for me to hear her voice. I loved it. It was kind of a love-hate thing. You know, you love to hear it, but at the same time, it was kind of sad.
Right. I was going to ask you about how that made you feel.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I was so excited when I heard her voice, but then I was sad when you would hear her say things like pain. I'm in pain. I'm hurting. You know, she really tried to talk to him. She must have liked Nick because he's the only one that I know that she's ever tried to reach out to. And he got her in the basement, and that's where she passed away.
Have you felt, after going back in there, now knowing that somebody made a connection with your grandmother, did it make you feel differently about the building? A little?
Just like, more connected. Mm-hmm. I'd already felt kind of drawn to it, but after hearing that, and I know it sounds so weird because who gets emotionally attached to a building? I know that sounds weird for everybody, but it really was, it was really emotional for me. And there are times when I go to the basement and I don't know if it's just a combination of knowing she passed away there. Also knowing that a lot of people passed away there, children passed away. We had a lot of children that passed away in this hospital. That it's a heavy burden for me sometimes. Each floor of the hospital for me brings a different feeling on. And the basement sometimes for me is so heavy, I can't hardly stay down there. So after that, it was a little bit harder for me because even though it was my favorite floor, knowing that she was there, it was difficult in some ways, but then in some ways I felt like, well, she's here with me. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense, mm-hmm. But it was definitely a game changer. One time I was doing an interview for a group and they set me on the first floor. Now of all places, it was just in the hallway. It wasn't even anywhere special. It wasn't in a room. It wasn't on the elevator. It wasn't anything. We were just in the hallway and he had his camera. They had their camera facing. I was sitting in a chair, literally in the hallway. I mean, again, it was nothing special, but as we were interviewing, he caught a shadow figure go by my head. It went from one room to another and he saw it live while he was videoing it, but he was smart enough to keep the video going and I didn't feel it or sense anything. So I just kept on talking. I didn't know anything. And he stopped and he went, there was a shadow figure that just went right by your head. So I always feel like they're watching. I think they're just as curious about us as we are about them. So they ended up posting it and I shared it on, I think, our Instagram page and our Facebook and TikTok, but you can just see it right by my hair. You can see the shadow just go right by my head. And he's just walking by. So, but he's watching. I mean, you know, so I think they just want to talk.
And I've heard that from a lot of people. They say they're as curious about us as we are about them.
And yes, I agree with that. I do.
Now, one story that you did bring up, and I did want to ask you about that, was Mose Blackburn. Am I saying that correctly? Mose? And he
M-O-S-E.
Uh-huh. Guy got in some trouble. He did some bad things.
Yes, he did.
So I wanted you to share his story.
Sure. He is probably one of our most famous spirits at the hospital. And that's who Destination Fear, when we launched, when they launched the show and launched us, basically, that's who they come to investigate. They had found out the story of Mose. Mose Blackburn was a local restaurant owner here in Williamson in the 1960s. And according, and you can Google his name and read the newspaper articles. We try to stay as true to history as much as possible. So, you know, there are a few newspaper articles that kind of vary from, you know, what they said. But overall, the story of it was he was sitting in the car and got into an altercation with his wife. Not sure if it was physical or just verbal, but anyway, it was to the point where a concerned citizen was walking by and called police. So when they called the city police, two city officers responded, and one approached Mo's side of the car. The other one approached the lady's side of the car. And for whatever reason, Mo's pulls out a gun and shoots the officer, who happened to be a lieutenant with the city police, shot him in the head. The officer was rushed to our hospital, and he passed away. He passed away in the same hospital. And of course, as you can imagine, there was a fight that ensued. Mose was hurt pretty bad. So they bring him to the hospital as well. They fix him up. He's put into a room on the third floor. And, you know, there's several different theories as to what happened to Mose. You know, some of the locals said that they knew the family, that he was a disturbed young man who would hear voices or who had his own issues. Some people say that he was a fine man. They're not sure what caused him to do that. Then there's also the theory that the police officer was having an affair with Mose's wife. So, you know, I don't know if I really believe that, because what's the chances that particular officer responded to the call at the same time? You know, so I don't really know. There's so many theories out there. But long story short, for whatever reason, Mose was put there and a deputy was stationed outside of his room, which is not uncommon. They still do that today. And he had asked the officer, he'd been there for a little while, and he was expected to go to jail and face his time in court. I mean, he made a full recovery. And he asked, one day he asked the deputy to go get him a drink of water. And the deputy went to the nurse's station to get it. And when he did, Mose just took the opportunity to take off, and he jumped out the third story floor window. Now, he didn't die. He didn't go very far, because he broke his leg when he jumped. And the officer, a doctor, and I believe a couple nurses ran and picked him up and brought him back into the hospital. They fixed his leg and they put him back into the room. Nobody really knows why he tried to jump. Some people believe that he heard evil voices telling him to. Some people believe that he was just trying to escape because he knew he was going to go to jail for the rest of his life. And then some people believe that the police threw him out just to kind of get revenge for hurting one of their own. So, again, nobody really knows the full story, and we can't find any newspapers to say why he really did it, other than the fact that he did. I mean, that's documented. He jumped. We know that. The weird part about Mose is that he was expected, again, to make a full recovery, and the deputies were stationed there. And he was supposed to go on to jail. But almost a month to the day that he jumped, he mysteriously passes away in his room. So I got curious and went to the courthouse and got a copy of his death certificate. So we have it hanging on the third floor for people to see. And, you know, I guess it's possible. Anything's possible. But it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. On the death certificate, it says that he died from like a fractured rib, a fractured leg, and then I think emphysema. So, you know, is it possible? Yes, but likely? No. So, you know, I think either he took his own life, or maybe the officers did, or maybe somebody told him to. I really don't know, but it's just a very disturbing and odd story. So people come to the hospital and they get in contact with Mose. He's pretty talkative. He don't shy away. If he does, it's usually very uncommon, and it may be because he doesn't feel comfortable talking. But I can tell you, of all the groups that's been there for the past, you know, going on 3 years now, the one thing that they who's ever come in contact with Mose, the one thing that they all had in common that they told me was that they asked him if he had any remorse for killing the city police officer. And he said, yes. And that was the one thing that was consistent with all the paranormal groups. So we found that very intriguing. We think maybe he was disturbed, and maybe that's why he can't cross over, is because he just feels so bad for what he did. So I don't know, but he's one of the ones a lot of people come to find answers for.
And it makes me think that the officer was not having an affair with his wife, because if he would have been, he would have been like, he deserved it.
Right.
But he feels remorse.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a small town again. So you have all these, you know, local rumors and, you know, theories as to what really happened. But the only thing that we know, we just go based on what the newspaper article said. And who knows if those were even true or not. You know how the media is. But, you know, that's the only thing we really have to go on. And then the last article that I could find about Mose was they were going to request an autopsy on his body. And, nothing ever came out after that. So it's just like, oh, well, they requested it, but he's dead. So let's move on. You know, so I don't know. I can't get a closure as to what really happened to him. So it's just a sad story. The lieutenant, from what we can gather and what information we got, was a very well-respected guy in the community. He had a lot of family here. He was well-loved. So, you know, it hit the community really hard when he passed away. And he passed away pretty instantly because Mose shot him right in the head. Oh. So it just kind of sad.
And nobody picks up on, they don't pick up on him in the officer in the hospital.
I don't know if anybody's really tried, to be honest with you. There's one paranormal group. They are detectives from out of Huntington, West Virginia, and they come about once or twice a year to the hospital. So I'm always curious to see how Mose will react to them, because all of them are either police officers now, former detectives, or they're retired. So I'm always curious to see that. But so far, nobody's gotten in contact with the lieutenant that passed away. His name was Richmond Garnett, I believe, or Garnett Richmond. I always get it backwards. But nobody yet, anyway, has told us anything about the officer.
That's so interesting. That's a good story.
Yeah, it really is. That's the thing about hospitals. You don't really have to, you know, because people ask me all the time, do you make this stuff up? No.
You don't have to.
I mean, this stuff, you don't have to, because, you know, even with hospitals today, weird stuff just happens. And then you have the whole, you know, people's lives start there and people's lives end there. So you have all of that. And I'm sure, if you can imagine going through the Great Depression, on how many people took their lives or how many people were admitted. I even read where husbands, when their wives were going through menopause and stuff, they didn't understand what was wrong with them. They would bring them there because they didn't know how to treat them. They didn't know how to help them. So I can only imagine some of the practices and stuff that was done to people. And then I read a lot of history. You know, tuberculosis was a big deal. Our area got hit really hard with scarlet fever. So a lot of young children passed away from that. So a lot of children passed away in the hospital from that. So, you know, it's just one of those things with hospitals. You don't really have to make anything up. It's just history. It just happened. And people that used to work there, our best stories come from the people that used to either work there or were former patients there. And they were constantly getting phone calls or messages of some of the stories that happened to them while they were there, or while they were working there, or new people or their family members that worked there. So there was weird stuff going on at the hospital, even when it was still a hospital.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, because I read that the reports of the paranormal go back. It's not anything new. It's like everyone kind of has known that hospital has something else going on.
Yes. Yes. Even just one of the quick stories that we have a young lady who still, she helps us out. She's a big supporter of ours and she tries to attend events and stuff like that. But she would tell you, and she's constantly posting on our Facebook, she had an encounter with one of the nurses, and it may be the nurse that was captured in the picture. But she told us that she was in labor. They put her in a room, and she said this nurse came into her room and told her that she had not dilated enough and that she would, you know, and I can't remember if she said if this was her first or second child, but the nurse basically told her that she still had a couple of days before she would actually go into full labor. So she just told her that they were going to go ahead and discharge her and to go ahead and get up and start packing. And, you know, when she started feeling like she was going to give birth again or she went into labor, to come back. So this lady proceeds to get out of the bed, starts packing her stuff. And as she's walking down the hallway, she passes the nurse's station. The nurse that's sitting behind the desk comes out and tries to stop her and says, "Where are you going?" And she says, "Well, that other nurse told me that you all are discharging me and that I'm not in full labor yet, that I needed to come back." And she said, "Honey, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm the only nurse on duty tonight."
Oh.
So, yeah. She's adamant about that story. She has told us that story from day one. So that one was always a wild one that we love sharing. Another one was Dr. Salton. We love him and he's great. And what we would call him kind of he not only loved humans, but he loved animals as well. So with this hospital, I'm assuming back in the 20s and 30s, they did not have animal hospitals or veterinarians in the day. Or if they did, I don't know what they did with him, but he was kind of one. So Dr. Salton, they said it was not uncommon for him to bring animals in that hospital. So one of the stories that kind of haunts the hospital is that, you know, he loved animals just as much as he does humans. But the horse story that kind of haunts Dr. Salton, he had a friend who had a horse. And, you know, back in those times, if you think about it, horses were very crucial to families because A, they were probably modes of transportation, but B, they were probably in the farms and work, you know, they needed them. So his friend called him and said, "Dr. Salton, I have to have my horse. I need this horse and I can't afford to buy another one." He said, "If you can get him to the hospital, I'll see what I can do." So no joke. They bring this horse to the hospital and somehow manage to get this horse to the fourth floor. And while Dr. Salton is operating on the horse passes away. So sadly, he can't save the horse. So the stories go that certain times of the year, you can hear the horse gallop through the hallways. Now, I've never heard that. I don't know if any other paranormal team has picked that up, but what has been picked up has been animal sounds, growls. And then one of our locals, her mom tells the story when she was in the hospital there, she would constantly see a white cat that would appear and either lay at her feet or just walk around in her room. And she said she would tell the nurses they needed to get the cat out of the hospital, but the nurses were like, "What are you talking about? There's no cat here." So it was probably one that Dr. Salton tried to treat. So that's what we tell the paranormal investigators when they come in, don't be alarmed if you picked up animal sounds or if you pick up anything animal-like, because he treated animals here just like he did patients. So that was an interesting thing. And then probably the other, we have so many stories, it's just kind of crazy, but I think one of the ones that fascinated me the most was one of she works at a bank now, and we were going through the drive-through, and she said, "Remind me to tell you the story of what happened when I used to work up there." So long story short, we come back and we finally find some time to talk to her. And she proceeds to tell us that before she took the job, before she took another job, she worked at this hospital that I own, and she was kind of a receptionist. And she was, I think she said she worked on the, I want to say fourth floor, but it might be the first floor. But anyway, the lady that was in charge of running the hospital, kind of like, I guess what you'd call the CEO or the manager, her desk was outside of this lady's office. And she said the lady was not from she wasn't from West Virginia. She did not like Williamson and she did not like this hospital. And she made it pretty well known that she didn't like it. And they said every time she came in, she was either cursing the hospital, cursing the staff, or just mean in general, just mean. And she said, one day she came in and she said, you know, I just sat at my desk. I never said anything. I wouldn't even make eye contact with a lady. And she said she went into her office and she was cussing because she was having a bad day. And she spilled her coffee. And so she starts cussing and slamming things. And she goes, I hate this effing building. And that lady said she no more and got the word building out of her mouth when everything on her desk went flying off.
Oh.
And the woman just shoved her chair to the back, just sat there real quiet. And she said, the lady that's telling us this, she said she just sat there because she didn't know what to do. And the door slammed. Everything went flying off the desk and the door slammed. So the lady was like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to go in there because I was afraid she'd chew me out or fire me. So she said, like, within 2 minutes, the lady picked up her purse, walked out that door, and never came back.
I don't think come back either.
Yeah. Well, you know, and she, I mean, again, this lady works at a bank. I don't think she would make up anything like this. She's pretty well known in our community. And we appreciated her sharing that story because we had never heard that before, but she witnessed it with her own two eyes. She said, I know that place is haunted because this is what I saw. She said, I saw the things flying off her desk. Wow. And that door slammed. And it was just, you know, I think it was just the building and the spirit's reaction to, like, well, if you don't like us, we don't like you. Get out.
Well, and it's pretty much what, you know, any paranormal investigation team is going to say, you know, if you're taunting them and you're saying mean things, which she was. I hate this effing building. And
yes.
So she's disparaging them and being disrespectful to them. And so she created that reaction.
Yes. And so they said she walked out and never came back.
I think that was good that she didn't go back.
Yes, me too. Because it probably caused problems for everybody else, to be honest with you.
And because her coming back, you know, she hates it. Now she's mad and she's scared and all of that. I just don't think it would have been a good environment for her there.
I agree. She never did tell us the lady's name, but because it wasn't, you know, that long ago. But it just, it was a very fascinating story that we had not heard before. So, but I do think they feed off your energy. And if I think you're right. If they don't, you know, if you go in cussing at them and you hate being there and you hate them and you let them know that, I think they're going to show it right back.
Especially in a hospital, because if you're disparaging them, think about who you're talking to, doctors and nurses and patients and people who have lost loved ones and or they have died in that building. You know, it's like, wait a minute, you're talking about us like that? Now, maybe it could be most. That guy wasn't very nice. But I think, you know, I don't know. That's interesting.
And yes, it was really interesting. And to hear her say it, because you could tell she was just like, she said, I continued to work there for a little bit longer. She said, but I didn't stay much longer after that because it really freaked all. She said there was three ladies and they all saw it. And she said it freaked every one of them out. Yeah. She said she'd never seen anything like that before.
Would have freaked me out.
Yeah. And this is when the hospital, I mean, it was still an active hospital. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't closed or abandoned or anything. This is while it was still going on. So the fact that things were happening while it was still a hospital just amazes me.
Now, you offer some different types of tours there. And there's a pretty good selection. I love that you do photography tours because you could get some really cool photographs. But so you can do a historical tour, paranormal, private tours, flashlight tours, all kinds of different things. And it's all on your website. And there's just a number of different things that you could do.
Yeah, we wanted to kind of you know, cater to everybody. I love doing the photography tours just because every photographer has a different eye of things and they see things differently than we do. So, and some of the best pictures that we have came from the photography tours. They just do such a great job. We just kind of turn them loose for about 4 hours and let them do their thing. We tell them what they want to know, if they want to know anything at all. Some of them just love shooting old buildings. So we just kind of, you know, let them do it, but it just, they come up with some really cool things. And then we have people that come up there that just want the history side of it. So we're very much, Charlie and I both love the history and the historical side of it. So we love talking about that. If they're not into the paranormal, the spooky stuff, we leave that out. So, you know, we just kind of cater to a little bit of everything. Shoot, we even do weddings and birthday parties up there. So we kind of do it all.
It would be a pretty cool birthday party place.
Yeah, that we've had several, especially after Destination Fear hit.
We've had several. Bet.
Yeah, we had several that wanted a Destination Fear birthday party, so it was kind of cool. To say even the weddings, you wouldn't think much of it, but those that like the non-traditional kind of spooky weddings, the pictures, we did 13 weddings in one weekend, and the pictures were just absolutely beautiful. The photographers did such a great job. You wouldn't even know it was at a hospital, except for a few. Now, a few kind of got a little crazy with it. We had one couple that got married in the basement. So, you know, they wanted to have a lot more of a fun, easygoing kind of wedding. So, but the rest of them, it was just amazing. So, you know, we have a lot of fun with it. And we appreciate all of them that come, because we understand, you know, there's some people who don't want the traditional things. They just want something different. And, you know, the sun sets up on that hill. You can't beat. It's beautiful.
Oh, I bet it's gorgeous. I never even thought
really
about
is.
That.
And the fall where the trees are turning, you couldn't ask for it's like, it almost looks fake in some pictures. It looks like somebody just painted it, but it's really pretty up on the hill. And the both of the buildings, even the nurses' college, we allow people on the outside. We can't let them inside. They will take pictures against that building as well. Prom pictures, wedding pictures. Just, it turns out amazing.
And you can get information, even if it's about a wedding, you can get it on their website. They've got numbers to call. And I would also recommend going to the website just to check out that amazing drone video of the location. It really puts it in perspective so well. And you can see the old hospital on College Hill for yourself. And the website is collegehillhospital.com.
Unfortunately, I don't think it shows the video on your phone, on your cell phone, but I think if you go on a laptop, it does. It does.
Yeah, I looked on a laptop and I was able to see it. I didn't try on my phone. It's so cool.
A friend of mine helped me build that website, and he's a great photographer, and he recommended that. And at first I was like, I don't know. But then after I saw it, I was like, that looks pretty cool.
It's really cool. Because I saw it, I'm like, that is awesome. Because it's one of those buildings that a photograph isn't going to really put it in perspective.
Right.
You can't really tell, you know, you'd have to have several different angles and stuff, but that drone video, really, you can see all of it. It's really, really,
yes,
really cool.
He did a great job capturing it all. And then you can see, again, I think you can see how it overlooks the city and where it stands and all of that. So I just wish it would do that on the phone. I don't know why it won't do it on the mobiles, but on the cell phones, but it does it on the laptop. So
please tell me he did a great job. He did a great job.
Oh, I will.
And Tanya, thank you so much for doing this with me today. It was such a pleasure to talk about it.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for inviting me. We really appreciate anyone that wants, you know, we're very passionate about it, and we appreciate anybody that takes interest in our buildings and the history of it and just our little city. And you know, hopefully you get to come and visit us one day.
I would love it. I would love it so much. And that wraps up our conversation about the old hospital on College Hill in Williamson, West Virginia. You can get more information on tours, investigations, photography tours, and even weddings by visiting their website at collegehillhospital.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, all commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. You can find everything there. It's also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks so much for listening.